We're going to continue in our series on giving, and as we've been going through this year, we've been going through the seven purposes of the church. We've been evaluating how we're doing as a church, how we're doing individually in each of these seven, and now we're in the giving series, and I want to thank you all. For some of you, you've sent me some emails, I've gotten some phone calls, and just appreciate how so far the giving series has really impacted you, and how much you've appreciated some of these messages, and I do appreciate that feedback. And so what we've been learning throughout the weeks is we've looked at giving. We said that it's a matter of principle, that God is the great giver, and God's people have always what? Given back to God. And then we looked at that it's a matter of trust. Do we trust him? Do we trust him with all of our heart? Do we not lean our own understanding and all our ways to acknowledge him? Do we honor him with our wealth and the first fruits? And then we looked at that it's a matter of respect, that to give God our best, to give him the first cut, the tithe, the tenth, the best portion, that's a matter of respect. Then last week we talked about it's a matter of provision, that tithes and offerings help sustain the ministry and the ministers who lead. And this morning I want to talk about that it is a matter of mission, that it's a matter of mission. So look at your neighbor and say, it's a matter of mission. It's a matter of mission. If you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word, we're going to read a passage in Genesis and then a passage in Galatians. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make for you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. This is Paul commenting on this verse. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Let's pray. Lord, help us to hear you this morning. Help us to have hearts ready to receive and minds to believe and a will willing to obey, God. As we look at what you've called us to do and how we get to participate in this great mission that we call your kingdom, Lord, that we would get excited and motivated about the possibilities that we can partner with you, Lord. So help me to preach plain and clear. I do understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I do preach. Amen. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. As we look at Scripture, here's one truth that we see. God has always been on mission. God is always on mission. The very God who was, is, and always will be, who is far above all that we can even think or attain, the one who existed before there was anything that we can see, the one who existed before nothing was even created, the self-sufficient God, he himself decided to create a universe. He himself decided to create a world, to create earth, and to create mankind. It was by God's design that he would create mankind in his own image. And so when man was created, man and woman was created, we were created to reflect the image of God. We were to be the image bearers of God. God has always and always will use people to declare his glory. How many of y'all are excited to know that you were made for the purpose to declare his glory? Amen. I hope you know that. I hope you know that. All right, by the time this is over, everybody should be clapping, because we all should know that we were made for the purpose to declare the glory of God. People wonder, what am I supposed to do on earth? You're to reflect his glory. What's my purpose in this life? to live for the glory of God. That's your purpose. That's why he created us, to declare his glory. And of course, we know Adam and Eve, what they did, and they sinned and rebelled against God. But that didn't distort the image. We're still the image bearers of God, but it brought about a curse. It brought about sin, which needed to be dealt with through redemption that we know through the cross of Christ. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we are told of the first gospel message. And when the Lord says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. This is, by many theologians, the first gospel message in the Bible. And that was fulfilled when Jesus was crucified on the cross, where Satan, he bit him on the heel, and Jesus, through the cross, crushed his head. And from then on, there's been a movement. Your seed and her seed, from the woman's seed and from Satan's seed, that there are a people of God that God is gathering for himself for one purpose, and that is to declare his glory. And so from early on in Scripture, we see that God begins calling men out of their sin and out of their shame. And God calls Noah out. And then God has Enoch, and God has all the saints of God in the line. And then Noah has three sons, and from one of those sons comes the godly line where Abraham is going to be born. And through it all, we see in the opening pages of Scripture in Genesis that God is calling for himself. He's gathering for himself a people who will declare his glory. And so Abraham becomes the father of faith. He becomes the first person that we see here in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. When God makes a covenant with him, we'll read this again. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. Now watch this. Why? So that what? So that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Paul recognizes that as a gospel presentation, that God was preaching the gospel beforehand, that the Gentiles would come to faith. When God redeems Abraham and makes that covenant with Abraham, then Abraham has Isaac and Isaac has Jacob. We have a family unit now, right? So the promise comes to a family. And then Isaac has Jacob. Jacob has 12 sons. Those 12 sons become the 12 tribes of Israel. Now we have a tribe. So the gathering of the people is beginning to increase. We went from a man to a family to a tribe. As that tribe begins to increase, they go to Egypt because there's a severe famine. And there they begin to prosper and they begin to multiply. And Joseph dies, one of the sons of Jacob. He dies, and it tells us that there arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And so as the Hebrew people multiplied into a nation there in Egypt, Pharaoh looked out upon them and said, there are way too many of them. They could overtake us if they wanted to. So he enslaves them and makes them into a slave nation. Now, all the while, God's purpose and plan is still to declare his glory among the nations. But now we have the people of God. They wind up and they are a slave nation. So what do they do during that time? They begin crying out to God. For over 400 years, they pray to God. And then God finally answers their prayer and he sends them a man by the name of Moses. And Moses comes and declares to Pharaoh what? Let my people go. Set my people free. Pharaoh hardens his heart. He hardens his heart. But God still uses Pharaoh to declare his glory among the nations. Before I continue in the message, I need everyone to know this truth. Every person's life will give God glory. You can either choose to give God glory as a friend, or you will give God glory as a foe. But regardless, your life will declare the glory of God. The Bible tells us that God raised Pharaoh up for the very purpose to glorify his great name. So as Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let the people go, God said, that doesn't matter. That doesn't stop you from me getting my glory manifest among you, because I will show my power through you. I will do great and mighty wonders that the world will see, that Egypt will see. And he proved to the Egyptians that the God of the Hebrew people is greater than the Egyptian gods. And so the 10 plagues came, the death angel came, they rescued the firstborn was rescued by the blood over the door mantle. The Hebrews left Egypt. They came to the Red Sea. They thought, what are we going to do? Moses lifts his staff. The Red Sea parts. They cross through on dry ground. The Egyptians chase after them. The sea closes up. God delivers his people. Why? So that he might be glorified. While they are in wandering in the wilderness, Moses goes up to the mountain, and he has 40 days on the mountain with God. And as he's there, God gives him instructions on several things. We know he gives him the Ten Commandments, but one of the things that God tells Moses while he's there, he gives him instruction on how to build the tabernacle in which God himself will manifest his own glory. And so we read in Exodus chapter 25, verse 1, it says this: the Lord said to Moses, speak to the people of Israel that they may take for me a contribution. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall receive the contribution for me. That's a free will offering. That's a love offering. And this is the contribution that you shall receive from them: gold, silver, bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins, goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the lamp, spices for the anointing oil and the fragrant incense, onyx stones and stones for setting, for the ephod, for the breastpiece, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may what? Dwell in their midst. Exactly as I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and all of its furniture, you shall make it. Now let's just hit the pause button right here. Let's stop and think about what God is doing, because I think this blows my mind. That God himself would allow his people to construct and be a part of something in which his presence would dwell in. Now think about that. He invites his people to join him. This is the God that spoke the world into existence. And he calls his people to give of themselves and to use their talents and their gifts and their resources and their time to make him a tabernacle and a sanctuary in which he will allow his presence to dwell in. How many of y'all realize that God has decreed it and declared it, that he is going to use people to declare his glory? And God wants Living Water Church to be a people who will declare his glory. He invites you, he invites me to participate in something that's bigger than ourselves. How many of y'all are amazed to think that God wants to use me to declare his glory? I think that's amazing. What about you? He wants to use you. And so he's calling them, he's telling them exactly what they need to do in order to make this. And then in Exodus chapter 31, verse 1, it says this: the Lord said to Moses, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uriah, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah. Now watch. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge, with all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, to work in every craft. And behold, I have appointed with him Oholiab and the son of Ahizamak, the tribe of Dan, and I have given to all able men, what? ability that they may make all that I commanded you. Did you catch that? Who gave them the ability to carry out the task that God had called them to do? God did. God gave them the skill, the intellect, their talent, their artistic design. It also, as you keep reading this, he gives some the ability to teach it to others. And he's giving them this ability for one purpose and one purpose only, to what? To give glory to God. That they would make a tabernacle in which the presence of God, the Shekinah glory of God, would hover and be present in their midst. I think this is amazing. Tell your neighbor, it's a matter of mission. The people of Hebrew were called on mission. Exodus 35, verse 20, it says, "Then all the congregation of the people of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him, everyone whose spirit moved him, and brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting, for its service, and for the holy garments." They were so moved by the idea that they get to be part of something that only God can do. And they began giving of their resources. They gave their jewelry, their rings, their earrings, their bracelets, their necklaces. And they gave of the yarn. They gave of the stones that they needed to. And they were so moved, they began bringing everything to the people, to the builders, that they needed to construct the tabernacle, that finally the guys that was overseeing the building said, "Moses, you need to tell everybody to stop bringing stuff. We've got more than enough to do the job." That's amazing. They didn't have to beg people to give. They didn't have to come up with some creative way to get people to give. No, the people were so moved and so excited because they got to be a part of what God was doing. They got to be a part of bringing glory to the nations because of what he invited them to do, that they began giving generously to the work. And God used the people of Israel, set them apart, made them a nation. Why? So they would be a kingdom of priests to the nations. So that they would represent what it looks like to be a people of God. So that the pagan nations, they have their false gods, their false idols, their false ways of worship. This is what their life looks like. This is what the people of God look like. And this is what he invites you to participate in. He gave them many laws as well. He gave them many compassion laws. He gave the Israelites, he gave them specific laws on how to treat the widows and how to treat the orphans and how to treat the aliens among them. He said, make sure that you treat the aliens with kindness because you too once were a stranger living in a foreign land. He even gave them gleaning laws, so that the poor would be taken care of. In the Old Testament, if you read it, it's interesting. I promise you, people who say that the Bible is boring, they haven't read the Bible. It tells you how to care for the poor. And one of the ways that they were to care for the poor is when they were gleaning their fields, when they were harvesting their fields and they were gathering their harvest, if any of the fruit dropped to the ground, they were to leave it there. They weren't to try to get every single thing off of the trees, off the bushes, and then they drop it and they start getting up. They were to leave it there because after you pass through your field, then those who were poor were to come behind you and glean the leftovers for themselves. It was a great way to help the poor, but also to give them dignity because they still had to go work to gather their own food. It's compassion laws. And these laws were given to be a indication of how good God is. So the people of Israel were always to be a people who reflected the glory of God, that they displayed the glory of God. Well, we know that there's a time when the kings come and the tabernacle is built and the glory of God rests in the Holy of Holies. among the people, to declare his glory among the nations. And then we turn the pages from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and we see that God himself takes on flesh. That God himself comes and incarnates and becomes the God-man, Jesus, 100% man, 100% God, 100% of time. And in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. There was nothing made that was not made through him. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as from the only Son from the Father, the glory of grace and truth. And the Word became flesh. That's Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God the Father. And Jesus was God. And Jesus became flesh. And he dwelt among us. That word dwelt means tabernacled among us. He made his dwelling among us. And so what does Jesus do? As Jesus lives his life, much like the Old Testament, as God is gathering for himself a people who will declare his glory, what's Jesus doing? He's gathering for himself a people who will what? Declare his glory. He's gathering his disciples. He's training them. He's preaching. He's teaching. And then when he is crucified on the cross, he is crucified for what purpose? For the glory of the Father, that he would redeem for himself a people who would bring glory and honor to the Father. Amen? And so as Jesus dies for our sins, as he rose again on the third day, he then brings the disciples together and those who were his followers, and he gives them a commission. We call it the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus told them, he came and said to them, all authority has been given unto me in earth and in heaven. Go therefore and what? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you, what? Always, to the ends of the age. Jesus expects his people, and he invites his people to be on mission for his glory. We get to declare the goodness of God. We get to share the glorious gospel that brings people from death to life. The good news is this, that Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture, that anyone who trusts in him and calls upon his name shall be saved. We get the privilege of being a part of that great story. He invites us to participate in his mission to bring glory and honor to his Father. I don't know any other thing to be excited about than that. There's so much need in this world that we don't have people today are disconnected from God. We have people who are lost without hope. And God says, I want you to join me in the mission of sharing my good news. How good is that? And what does he use for us to declare his glory? He has given us talents. He has given us abilities. He has given us resources. He has given us the Holy Spirit. Amen. He has empowered you to do all you need to do to bring glory and honor to the Father. You realize that? Jesus said with his disciples before he was crucified, shortly I'm going to go away, and I will be with you no longer. It's good that I go away, because if I go away, I will send you a helper. And when the helper comes, he will guide you into all truth. Who's the helper? The Holy Spirit. And so when Jesus rose again, on the day of Pentecost, when they were gathered together, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, empowered the church, and the Spirit of God, the one, the Spirit of God, the God who came and lived among the Hebrew people in the tabernacle, the same God who filled the temple, the same God who took on flesh, that very same God sent his Spirit to live in us. I'm amazed. We get to be a part of something great. And he empowers us and gifts us and resources us with all that we need to bring glory and honor to him. You say, well, Pastor, what does he want to use in my life? Everything. Your gifts, your talents, your abilities, your resources. All that we have needs to be consecrated to him in order to advance his kingdom. So he calls us to be on mission for him. We get to be on mission. We as Living Water Church, one of our main purposes of why we exist is to declare the good news of Jesus. That's the number one reason, to declare the gospel. Now, how do we do that? Well, we do that through preaching and teaching. But how does this building get paid for? How does the materials get paid for? Through the offerings and the tithes that come in, through the contributions as the people brought to the tabernacle and established the tabernacle. So our gifts are brought to advance the mission. Do you see your resources as a way to be on mission for God? I hope so, because that changes how you view tithing. That changes how you view love offerings. That changes how you view your giving. That when I give of my resources, I'm helping advance the kingdom of God. So I've been dreaming a little bit. I've been thinking and I've been wondering, you know, what would it look like if a church was moved by the Spirit of God in such a way that we realize that everything that we have is a gift from God. All that I have, my skills, my talents, my abilities, my resources, everything that I have, all my life is a gift from God, and I have but a few years to live. Y'all do realize that our days are numbered, the Bible says. We don't know how long we're going to live, but I do know this, it's not long, right? I've talked to people in their 90s and they say, boy, life is short. Okay, so even when you're 90, you're going to be thinking, wow, it's flown by. So life is very short. So let me ask you this. Are you going to use the time that you have left to bring glory to God as a friend? Or are you going to live as a foe? Because I want to partner with God. What about you? I want to join him on his mission, and I want to be a part of what God's doing. So let's think about this. What could we do? What needs to happen? Well, if statistics are right, the church is not growing. There needs to be more men of God called out. And maybe we need to, what would it look like if we as a church, if we all faithfully gave like we were supposed to, you think we could maybe start a church in another country? Maybe. I don't know. How cool would that be? I'm not saying we're going to do it, but maybe that's an option. Let me show you a picture of a gentleman. This is Param. Param is from India, okay? When I went to my first class in my D-Men program here just a couple years ago, there were supposed to be 7 of us guys taking this class. And when I got there, there was only 2 of us. It was me and Param. Now, Param's name is much longer, but he shortens it for us so that we can pronounce it. But he's from India. And I got a chance to know Param very well. And Param is studying, he's working, and he wants to be a pastor, and he wants to go back to his hometown and start a church. And he said, oh, Pastor, he said, I would love to go back to my hometown and start a Living Water Church and do what you did here at Mount Sterling. It's been such a blessing in this town. And who knows? Maybe God's opened a door to where that might become a reality. I don't know. I want to invite you to dream with me just for a moment. I want you to think, I mean, because I believe that God can do some things that we haven't even thought about yet. I believe that there are some things that God could lay on your heart that could be wow. There's areas in Eastern Kentucky that, as far as Southern Baptist world's concerned, there's not a lot of evangelism being done. Just none. There's a certain county that has three Southern Baptist churches in the county, and over the last 3 years, they have baptized only 8 people in 3 years. So what are we as a convention saying to that county? You can die and go to hell. We don't care. That's what it's saying. That there is a need in our nation, in our state, in our world, for gospel-centered churches to be on mission and to expand beyond the walls. We need to bless people here in this county, but we need to go beyond these walls. And if it means to help start churches, we need to do that. Amen? So we look at our mortgage. Our mortgage is right under $10,000 a month. That's what our mortgage is. So in 13 years, it's going to be paid off regardless. Okay? We got 13 years left. So in 13 years, it's going to be paid off. We owe about $1.1 million still. If we were to pay $2,000 extra a month on the principal, just $2,000 extra a month, it would be paid off in 10 years. Okay, so we could shorten it by 3 years. If we were to give $6,000 extra a month towards the principal, we could pay it off in 7 years. Okay? If we were to pay $12,000 extra a month in principal as a church, as a church body, we'd pay it off in 5 years. Now, I'm thankful for People's Exchange Bank. They have been good to us. And I thank God for them. They are a godsend. They answered a prayer at the right moment. Barry Frazier has been awesome to work with, and I'm thankful for him, and I thank them. But let me be, can I be candid just for a moment? If we're paying almost $10,000 a month, that's $120,000 a year that's going to the bank. As much as I love them and appreciate them, I'd much rather that $120,000 go into kingdom work. What about you? That's $120,000 a year that we could use to invest back into the kingdom. What could happen with that $120,000? A lot could happen with that $120,000, amen? Think about it. Dream with me. I don't know. I'm not saying we're doing any of this stuff. I just want to throw out some stuff to get you all to where you don't sleep at night. And I want you to think, and I want you to dream, and I want you to seek God and say, Lord, if you've called us to be on mission, how can we declare your glory? What if we build a transition house for people getting out of jail? We gave them 6 months rent-free so they could get back on their feet, and we share the gospel with them, and we equip them with maybe job interview skills, and we get them a nice set of clothes, and we help them get a job back to where they can make an honest living. What if we build a house of hope for battered or abused women, a place where young mothers find themselves in a hopeless situation, and they can stay there for a while until they get their feet back underneath them? I mean, it might not just be a home, it could be a duplex. Well, since we're dreaming, maybe a whole apartment complex. I don't know. What could be done? What could we do? Help build houses for people in foreign countries. We've already built some homes in Guatemala, but we could triple that in other areas. Some of these homes that we helped build last year, for $8,000, $10,000. And can I tell you that none of us would want to even live in that house? And many of us would even put our animals in that house. We have been blessed as a nation. God has resourced us greatly. We have so much stuff. What can we use our resources and our gifts and talents for the kingdom of God? I don't know. For here in this county, you know, what dream of mine, I tell you, I like sports. Those of you who know me, I like sports. I do. I enjoy it. We have many men and women here who are sports-minded. Man, what would it look like if we built a sports complex here in this community where we could develop our own sporting programs so that it would be a Christian-based and gospel-centered system that we could create? Huh? I mean, Lord knows you can't get a gym in this county. It's like locked down like Fort Knox. To be able to get a gym to where we could participate and actually engage this community. I don't know. Indoor soccer, indoor football, basketball. Dream big. Go ahead, dream big. You say, where are we going to put it? Well, we've got space behind us. We've got some land in front of us that I'd sure like to have. Let's pray about that. Let's put that on the list too while we're at it. Let's pray about this land right in front of us. It's up for sale. Steep. Let's pray. I've had, I don't know how many people ask me, well, are we ever going to have a school? Well, if we start tithing, we could have a school. I'm not opposed to it. I am a public educator supporter. I support our public education. I got a public ed degree. My wife teaches in a public education school. But you know what? How great it would be to have a school to where you could speak over the lives of the children that's coming through there and say, you are created by the divine. You are created by your maker. He's given you a purpose and a plan in your life. And you have the purpose to glorify God in all your learning and all your achievements is to glorify God. We have a lot of great teachers in the out. We can clap for that. We have a lot of great teachers in this community, and a lot of them are members of this church, so it's not a knock against our public schools, but I will tell you, there's things that go over in the high schools that are contrary to what we believe. And there's some things that are allowed to happen over there that I don't agree with. And so parents, let me just admonish you just for a moment and encourage you just for a moment. You better be discipling your kids. Because if you're not getting them, if you're not discipling them at home in what a biblical worldview is like, they're going to hear things different at school and from their peers at school. And I can tell you by having a kid in high school that there's different philosophies and thoughts. And so we got to raise our kids up to be able to stand, to dare to be a Daniel, to be able to go in the midst of a culture that doesn't know God and to be on mission. Our kids got to be on mission. I'd encourage you to get your kids in the youth group as they learn and have Bible study, that they would learn how to live on mission, to pray over your kids and say, you're going to school today. Your life is to be on mission. You're to be different, act different. You are to bring Jesus to that school. Our whole life is to be on mission. He uses everything that he's blessed us with. Our intellect, our skills, our talents, our abilities, everything that we have is to be used for his mission. My athletic ability, my music ability, my acting ability, all that to be used to what? Glorify his name. When he sent the Holy Spirit and birthed his church, God said, I need a body. When God was on the earth physically walking around, when Jesus, he had a body. He could touch the lame. He can't touch the lame anymore. He doesn't have a body, but he does have a body. Who's the body? It's the church. We are the body of Christ. We are his hands that can reach out to the hurting. We are his mouth that can present the good news of the gospel. We are his feet that can go where no one else will go. We are the heart that beats. We are his visible expression. We as a church are to be the representatives of God to a lost world to say, this is what God is like. And we use all of our gifts, talents, and our resources for his kingdom work. I don't know about you, But that changes everything about the way I live my life. My life is on mission. My attitude is on mission. My marriage is on mission. My parenting is on mission. Everything I do is on mission. My resources, yes, and my money is on mission. It's all to advance the gospel. I have a short amount of time. You've got friends that you're friends with, maybe just for a season. Do they know the Lord? You've got a job that you're going to have just for a while, and then maybe you'll retire, maybe you'll move off to another job. What's your mission while you're there? I'll bring parenting up one more time. Parents, our kids, we're going to have them in our home, if we do it right, just for a while. And then they're going to go out and they're going to have their own family. What's our mission? Living Water Church. And God's blessed us with this building, with this facility. And we try to be as faithful as we can with every bit of resources that we receive here. And we want Living Water Church to continue to be a blessing to Montgomery County and the surrounding counties. But let's just not stop there. What if it is in India? It's Guatemala. Who knows? East Kentucky. Ohio, New York City. I don't know. But he has gifted this church with so much talent, so much ability, so much intellect, so much potential, so much resources, that it would be amazing what could happen if we all are moved to live on mission. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful and humbled that you, the God of all creation, invites us to be a part of your plan. That you invite us to partner with you to carry out your mission on this earth. That the God who spoke the world into existence lives in us. It wants to live through us. Lord, Living Water Church, we are yours. And I pray, God, that you would stir in the hearts of your people dreams of what it would look like if we as a church was completely on mission in all of our life. Lord, what do you want us to do? Where do you want us to go? How do you want us to bless? How can we declare your glory among the nations? May we be faithful in Jesus' name. Amen.